Good morning. That's, what time is it? 7:22 a.m. on October the 7th, 2014. And I really should probably not be out today. My daughter brought home a virus, and we're all sharing it. And I think I started coming down with it yesterday afternoon. But this morning I woke up sick. Now, I quite frequently wake up early, but I don't usually wake up sick. One of the symptoms was that I knew I was in trouble because 4 o'clock, for no good reason at all, I was laying there in bed wide awake. It was like, bam, you're awake, have a good day. I'm not exactly sure what woke me, but it was sick. It was yesterday was therapy day. I talked to you before I went to therapy, and therapist broached a new subject for me yesterday by recommending a book on adult ADD. Good morning. Good morning. One of the problems is focus, and of course lack thereof. I frequently joked about it because I really haven't got generally a firm grasp on linear thinking over a long period of time, unless it's a project that I'm really stuck into. If I'm really into the project, if I really get it on my back and I'm focused on that one project, like writing a book or narrating a novel or something like that, then yeah, it's almost impossible to shake me. But that's also kind of symptomatic of ADD, because the problem is that I can't easily get transitioned in anymore. I used to be able to do that. I used to be able to do it all the time. It was relatively easy for me to say, okay, I'm going to put that down now. I'm going to work on this and work on it. Now, part of that was that before I became an artist, before I became an author, I was in a job that rewarded multitasking. It rewarded being ADD. It rewarded people who could focus for very short periods of time very, very narrowly, and then on to the next one. So there's a lot to think about here. The coping strategies that I've developed over the years are weighing now. They're taking a toll in energy. If in fact I do register on the ADD scale, I'll have to see about getting that evaluated. I'm going to read this book first and see what I think. But there are meds that can help. Now, there's also practices that can help. The structure, the schedule, turns out to be one of them. So if I have a clock telling me, if I have an alarm that tells me, you're supposed to be doing this now, and I go ahead and do it, then that's using an external cue to help with focus, to help with the popcorn kittens of ideas and activities that run through my head on any given minute. I'm sure people have listened to the podcast and heard examples of my walking along and talking about something and then getting distracted by a bird or squirrel. So it's going to be an interesting time as I try to examine this. One of the other things is intent and mindfulness, and that's something that I actually believe in, that I haven't been doing much lately. I haven't been acting with intent. I haven't been acting mindfully. My getting ready to come out this morning is an example of a kind of intent and mindfulness. Said that it would have been when my daughter came down and said she was still sick today, and she is. She's still got a fever. I can't send her to school with a fever. But it would have been easy for me to say, okay, well, I'm going to go back to playing EVE Online or something. But it was time for me to go for my walk, and so I got up and came out, and even though it's kind of dark outside, so the sun is up now. It's shining quite brightly. It's quite lovely. It's a gorgeous morning. The sky is translucent blue. So I'm glad I've come out, even though I don't feel well. I feel slightly nauseated, a little bit dizzy. Not dizzy enough that I'm uncomfortable on my feet or unsteady in my walking any more than normal. That is sort of a semi-seasick feeling. And I wanted to walk because a walk is a gift that I give to myself. I bring you all along to share it with me for 20 minutes in the morning. And it seemed like a good thing to do today. So here I am. speaking of the walk, the daily photo has attracted some interesting discussion over on the Writers Discussion Group. We're talking about the efficacy of using Twitter and versus G+, Google+, where reaching out to people seems to be, for some, more useful in Google+ than Twitter, because they really don't understand Twitter. Twitter is funny. Twitter is not apparently intuitively obvious to the casual observer, particularly for people who don't follow very many folks. And if the folks they follow are authors who do nothing but spam, then yeah, the question is, why am I even here? And the answer is, you're doing it wrong. Subject that I have tried to address many times over the years, and so far nobody really wants to really get behind that and understand that. But the photograph, somebody was talking about Twitter and how, and John Ward said how I use Twitter quite effectively and how much I like Twitter. And I do like Twitter. I like Twitter a lot. But I don't use Twitter to sell things. I don't use Twitter to promote the books. And so Eduardo Sestaguchi, whatever his name is, Swastaguchi or something. Anyway, Eduardo went over and looked at my Twitter stream. Pretty much all that's there is the daily photograph. It's the same picture over and over and over and over again with the weather report. So he was confused as to, why do I do that? Since I only ever put out the same thing, it's the same picture. Am I trying to be a weather spotter, or what the hell is the story? And I explained to him that it's really the first word in the daily podcast. It's the signal to you all that I've got a file, I'm out walking, and there should be a file in an hour or so. And if I forget, if I get distracted, there's that distraction thing again, you'll remind me. Here comes this beagle. He's such a cute beagle. And so as such, it's part of marketing in a way. Good morning. Good morning. It's part of my marketing in a way because it offers a rabbit hole for the curious to follow up with. Monk post. But it is not on its face a promotional post because it has no link to it. It has no direct promotional message to it. And I try to explain to them that the idea is not that the photograph, the post, is really the first word to you guys that I'm out. And that it's not intended to attract new listeners, to attract new readers, to attract attention other than for the very small number of people who might look at it and say, what the hell is this guy doing? And so I'm getting some pushback on it because it's like, well, yes, but you have to tell somebody sometime. And the answer is no, not really. And it's like, well, how do we find out about it? Well, if you Google the hashtag, it'll give you every answer you want. And yet none of these people who are asking this silly question have Googled the hashtag, which means they're not curious enough, which means they're not somebody who is going to likely be interested in me or my work. So I'm good with that. And in the process of having the discussion, it occurred to me something that I said before, but I don't think it really stuck with me before. And that's that if the purpose of mass media, if the purpose of broadcast media, in terms of marketing, is to put the message in front of as many people as possible in hopes that some small percentage of them will be influenced by that message, then social media marketing is the opposite. The goal for social media marketing is to put your messages in front of only those people who are likely to be influenced by them. And so instead of expanding an audience, the goal of social media marketing is to limit it to only those people who might be interested. So from that perspective, the daily photograph serves as marketing only in the sense that it makes people ask, who is this guy and what is he doing? Because he does it all the time and it doesn't make any sense. And then they're interested. If they're interested enough to Google me, then they're going to be interested enough perhaps to follow through. And if they're not even interested enough to Google, if they're not even interested enough to answer their own questions, I'm not sure how satisfied they're going to be when they find out who I am and what I do. So I'm perfectly willing to have that limitation. I'm perfectly willing to have people dismiss the messages as just some sort of crank, just some sort of oddity, as El Meadow said. But we dismissed your messages as just noise. So it's not being effective. My response was, well, yes, it is being effective because neither you nor Eduardo are in my audience. So, yeah, it's not a flaw, it's a feature. The fact that you dismissed it means it's working. Not that it's not working. And I think it's because everybody has this sort of notion that you have to get your message out to everyone. You have to get your message out in front of everybody because only a small portion of them will respond. And while that's true in mass media, it's true in broadcast media. It's not necessarily true in social media. That's an interesting catch-22 if you don't have an audience. How do you get an audience if you don't attract an audience? And the answer is, of course, you have to use different tactics. You have to use different operational implementations of those tactics. But the strategy of using social media marketing remains constant. We have to retain the understanding of duplex communication, of conversational interaction, and not mistake interaction with influence, and not mistake interaction with engagement, because those are two different things. It's entirely possible to get people to interact without having them be actually engaged. And you see it every day, every time somebody retweets something without an edit. It's like, okay, yeah, they retweet. They posted, so I'm going to retweet it. Yes, okay. Knee jerk reflex response. Oh, here's a tweet. Let me retweet it. Because if I retweet it, then I'll be on that person's radar as well. And maybe they'll retweet my stuff. But it's not engagement. It's just interaction. And you don't need to be... And one of the problems, I think, is, and I know I've talked about this before, but one of the problems is that interaction is often used as a proxy for engagement. That it's often used as an indirect measure. It's like, yeah, well, I have 2,000 followers and 1,000 of them retweeted it and nobody bought it. Well, that's not too surprising. Because the idea is engagement isn't directly related to interaction. Engagement requires some amount of influence. Engagement requires some amount of commitment. And likes and retweets and all of that. That's not necessarily a commitment. That's the least you can do, quite literally. Well, the least you can do is ignore it, but I suppose. But the least level, and I'll use this term advisedly, but the lowest level of engagement is interaction. And I would argue that it's not, because interaction is so easy, it doesn't actually require any level of commitment. It just requires awareness. And while marketing has its seven stages of message adoption, and awareness is the first one, I would argue that awareness is, by itself, not necessarily the right criteria. Yeah, there has to be some level of interaction before engagement can occur. You know, I wouldn't argue that. I would argue that engagement doesn't occur, or rephrase that, interaction is necessary but not satisfactory in terms of fostering engagement. It's a necessary criteria. I have to engage, which is why you have content. But engagement doesn't happen because of, not, you have to interact. I said that badly. You have to interact, that's why you have content. But interaction and the content is only the MacGuffin. The real story is about the engagement. If there's no engagement, and that has to be two-way, it's the nature of the beast. Even if it's only anonymous engagement, even if it's only writing to the fans, even though you don't know who might actually be reading it. Engagement has to be there. Anyway, I made it. I successfully transitioned my 2 miles. Am I doing on time? Almost 40 minutes, but I killed a lot of it taking the photograph this morning, so I can't complain too much. I will say, it was good to walk. I feel better for having done it. And I'm at the back gate, which means tomorrow is another day, and with any luck at all, I'll talk to you then.